This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What's up, Wisconsin? How y'all doing? Happy Friday. Hope you've got a wonderful weekend planned. We're going to have some beautiful weather mostly across all of Wisconsin. That always makes for a good fall weekend. And of course, we've got a great show for you here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I love Fridays because, of course, at the end of the show at 3:30, Terry Barr joins me for what's good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. We might even be talking about scary movies that we all enjoy and would invite you to participate in that discussion. That's going to be in the 3:30 block, folks, kicking it off today.
And we seem to be having some slight technical difficulties. Please hold on with us. Maggie will be right back as she reboots her internet. I hope that you're enjoying this fantastic weather.
His name is Mike Matowitz. He's the principal economist for the Roosevelt Institute, which is a think tank that focuses on corporate versus public power, labor and wages, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Really smart guy. We're going to talk about inflation. So you're not going to want to go anywhere for the entire show. And of course, today is Senate debate day. Very exciting. I'm going to a wedding this afternoon, which, boy, did they luck out for the weather this afternoon. So happy wedding to Mike and Katie. You know who you are. I'm going to be going to the wedding and probably streaming the debate while I'm at the reception because I don't want to miss any of it. And of course, I will be streaming it on the Civic Media Radio Network because we've got you covered for tonight's Tammy Baldwin. The senator tees off against Senate candidate, carpetbagger, 100 millionaire a few times over, Californian Eric Hovde. Who wants to cut Medicare and Medicaid and veterans benefits and raise the age of Social Security and considers himself part of the 1%. Yeah, that guy. Their debate is tonight. Civic Media is going to carry it. Our coverage starts across the network at 6:50. The debate kicks off at 7. And then, of course, Civic Media will have some post-debate coverage. So if you don't have Friday plans, now you do. But today... I wanted to start with the charity event, the Catholic Charities event that occurred yesterday evening in New York City. This is the Al Smith or the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation Dinner, which is an annual event usually in New York City. White tie, very fancy Nancy affair, and politicians make fun of themselves, and it raises money for Catholic Charities. More on that in a minute. Because there's a Milwaukee connection with the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner. I'll get to that Milwaukee connection in a few moments. But to set the stage for some of Donald Trump's jokes yesterday at a Catholic charity dinner, I thought we should have some appropriate context. And I think one of my wonderful producers that help out the Maggie Dawn Show, Jess, put together these cuts. And I think she agrees. Some context before we get to the Trump jokes. And I'm indeed, putting air indeed. Quotes around jokes.
Big air quotes.
Might, big air quotes, is probably necessary. So let's start with this ad that started this week. It's being run by a PAC. Let's start with this advertisement. Take a listen here.
I think we should also put just a little trigger warning ahead of this. This does describe sexual assault.
Thank you, Jess.
My name is Amy Doris. In 1997, I attended the U.S. Open. We went to Donald Trump's VIP box. I went into the bathroom. When I came out, Trump was standing there. He was not waiting to go to the bathroom. He was waiting for me. He kind of grabbed me and tried to kiss me. He was touching me all over my body. I pushed him away. I could not move. He just shoved his tongue in my mouth, started kissing me. It was so forceful. It was not pleasant. It was not welcomed. It was not consensual. I literally used my teeth to push his tongue out of my mouth. It was violating and it was traumatic. I thought it was my fault. Seeing the Access Hollywood video made me realize that Donald Trump is a serial sexual predator. He says he's going to protect women. He harms women. He has no respect for women. It is a danger to our society to put this man back in the White House. It's like, when will this stop?
Anti-Psychopath PAC Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Yeah, that PAC, Anti-Psychopath Inc. So that for some context. And let's take a cut 3.5, Jess, and take this for a wee bit of context as well.
No, I don't want to be nice. You know, somebody said you should be nicer. Women won't like it. I said, I don't care.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
And then, you know, since it's been all the rage this week, I would be remiss if we didn't listen to this bit of context and framework, if you will. Cut number 7, please, Jess.
Kamala Harris is warning voters about a new phrase Donald Trump has been using to describe some of his fellow Americans.
It's the enemy from within, all the scum that we have to deal with. That hate our country, that's a bigger enemy than China and Russia.
The enemy within. Trump used the phrase again in an interview with Fox News yesterday when he was asked whether he expects chaos on Election Day from outside agitators.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of Election Day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. It should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
Yeah. So that guy, speaking at an annual Catholic fundraiser gala attended by the Archbishop of the New York Diocese, the largest diocese in the country. In fact, the Archbishop sat right next to Donald Trump. What do you think might be going through his mind? Especially when it came Trump's time, you know, to tell some self-deprecating jokes. Like, that's kind of what the point of this is. So we're going to roll these, Jess, if you don't mind. I think we can just roll one after the other because this is how they came out of his mouth. Let's take a listen.
Sure.
I must say I was shocked when I heard that Kamala was skipping the Al Smith dinner. I'd really hoped that she would come because we can't get enough of hearing her beautiful laugh. She laughs like crazy. We would recognize it any place in this room, and all polls are indicating I'm leading big with the Catholic vote.
How that's related, I'm not sure.
Right now, we have someone in the White House who can barely talk, barely put together two coherent sentences, who seems to have mental faculties of a child, it said. Is a person that has nothing going, no intelligence whatsoever, but enough about Kamala Harris. Let's get on to something else. Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. if Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz.
And don't worry, he did address the self-deprecating part.
Yeah.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing.
Shocking.
I've got nothing. There's nothing to say.
So let's recap, shall we? The serial sexual predator, fraudster who stiffs working people, the guy that talks about the enemy from within, calls Democrats for disagreeing with him evil, sick, and lunatics, who makes jokes about someone's sexual identity, who doesn't care about being nice to women, who is a flaming out proud racist who trades in the most vile sort of language. Yeah. This is who we want telling jokes. A man who has exhibited absolutely zero sense of humor ever in his entire life, least of which a sense of humor about himself. Yeah, let's have that guy who wants to be a dictator for a day. Let's have him tell some jokes at a Catholic charity fundraiser. This is really gross. Of course, it won't make any difference. But it was really gross for an entirely different reason. Donald Trump, totally inappropriate. The complete lack of awareness, what sort of message that would send. Does it really surprise anyone that the Catholic Church might miss the boat on that one? You're going to want to stay tuned because I'm going to tell you what was really deeply offensive about that event. And the number one offensive thing was about it wasn't Donald Trump. You'll be surprised to hear. I want to hear your comments and thoughts. I'm going to share what was truly the number one most offensive thing about the Al Smith charity fundraiser, the thing that tainted it all, the 8,000-pound gorilla in the room. When we come back, you're going to want to keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, y'all, or welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Friday. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got my hair on fire as I usually do these days, given the politics. But the number one object of my ire today isn't Donald Trump, though his remarks at yesterday's Al Smith Memorial Foundation dinner were disgusting, transphobic, misogynist, race. I mean, he checked all of the ism boxes. Like, oh, is there a terrible thing to be? Oh, I'll check the box on it. Fascism, all of it. Checked all the boxes. Some more than once. If you've got thoughts on it, of course I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Of course, gosh, wouldn't you like to see me at one of these events? Jess, I mean, heck. Get me up there after this guy. I mean, it would be good. I might even tell a joke that went something like this after Donald Trump spoke. Oh, Cardinal Dolan, I would highly recommend that you lock up all of your donation boxes that are by the exits, you know, because he's got these little hands. He can just slip right in there, steal all the money. Yep. That's actually Kurt from Madison's joke. Thanks much for that, Kurt. I'll steal some material, but a tribute. Here is why I am so completely grossed out by this. And y'all know, if you've been listening to the show, I was raised Catholic. And I have a deep respect for what I think are the most core and fundamental teachings of the Catholic faith. Humility, forgiveness, openness. But here's what was especially gross about this. The very day of this charity fundraiser, this white tie, fancy pants, roses on the table, waiters with white gloves, glittering crystal, the very day of this fancy charity Catholic fundraiser, an $880 million settlement was announced by the Diocese of Los Angeles, stemming from sexual abuse of minors dating back to the 1940s. On the very same day. Wow. Wow. And you're going to have a fundraiser? I hope those funds go to pay the abuse victims, but they won't. And Cardinal Dolan, sitting there on the dais, the cardinal of the largest diocese in the country, next to this serial sexual predator, this racist, this misogynist, this threat to democracy, sitting there smiling and laughing on the day of this settlement, which of course went unmentioned at the dinner. And Dolan, mind you, was the mastermind and frankly, the enabler in chief, if you will, the apologist for the pittance that sexual abuse survivors in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee Archdiocese, received in their settlement. Just to put this in context, the $880 million after you take out a third for lawyers' fees is about $616 million. That settlement in the LA Diocese is going to 1,353 victims. That comes out to about just under $500,000 a victim. In contrast, because the Archdiocese of Milwaukee hid their money into a cemetery trust, and because they had sucked the money out of the Archdiocese, then filed bankruptcy, sealed these claims, and settled for pennies on the dollar because they hid their money. The Milwaukee Archdiocese, in contrast, paid their victims just over $60,000 apiece. That's not enough to cover even a lifetime's worth of therapy that would be required for sexual abuse victims. That is what I found truly disgusting. What a tone-deaf and utterly insensitive performance by Archbishop Dolan and the Catholic Church yesterday. Not the least of which was entertaining a man like Donald Trump as one of the keynote speakers. Cindy from Appleton, your thoughts this afternoon.
Well, Maggie, I was actually down in Milwaukee about a week or so ago for the Nuns on the Bus tour.
Oh, awesome.
And that many of the Catholic nuns are out there preaching that we cannot have this man back because he's such a dangerous thing to the country. Unfortunately, no matter what he says, the criminal or the felon does or says or does or whatever crazy stuff he pulls, it doesn't matter because he's going to win because over 50% of this country for some reason has fallen into this cult and I can't for the life of me understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand the cult either, Cindy, but what I will say is this. Thanks for the call. He's not going to win and it's not over 50% of the country. Remember that a third of the country basically doesn't vote. So what you're talking about is far, far less than 50% of the country. And here's the other thing that made me really angry about this event yesterday. Just earlier this month, a ruling came down from a federal district court here in Wisconsin denying Attorney General Colina's office access to some of the sealed documents from the Catholic Archdiocese in Milwaukee's bankruptcy that they were trying to use to help investigate these abuse claims. And of course, guess who opposed their access to these documents? Yeah, you guessed it. The Milwaukee Archdiocese. Gary from Sussex, you say what?
Are you concerned about getting hate mail from the Catholics in Milwaukee here listening on the radio? Because you are really coming down on them.
They deserve every bit of it, Gary. And if I do get hate mail, I'd like to have a conversation with that person. Is what the Milwaukee Archdiocese did acceptable? Do you know an abuse victim? Have you sat down with them face to face and talked about what the Catholic Church covered up and allowed the predation on children for decades? I'm not worried about the hate mail. I'm worried about the thing that happens after the hate mail, which is the conversation. It's the most important part. Folks, if you're on the lines, we'll get you in on the other side of this break. Then we'll be joined by Chris Alfheim. She's running for the 8th District Senate here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. It's always lively here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy. Out of my mind, out of my mind. Wrote it down.
Well, folks, this one's got me going out of my mind. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be joined in just a couple of moments by candidate for the 18th Senate District, Chris Alfheim. So excited to speak with her. But before that, I promised you all that we would close this topic out together. I've been triggered, I guess would be a word, by the Catholic charity dinner last night, the L. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner, white ties, crystal, champagne, roses, very fancy, New York City. Not only because they invited Donald Trump, not only because he told completely disgusting and inappropriate and disqualifying jokes, not only because he sat next to former Milwaukee Archbishop Dolan. But also because on the day of that dinner, the Catholic Diocese in Los Angeles announced an $880 million settlement to 1,353 victims of church and priest-related sexual abuse. Not only because of that, but because Dolan, sitting there, was one of the leaders of the Milwaukee Archdiocese that helped that archdiocese drain money from its coffers by slamming their funds into a cemetery trust and then declaring bankruptcy. So that when compared to the settlement in LA, Milwaukee victims got a paltry just north of $60,000 apiece. Can you imagine that, being sexually abused by a priest for years and they cut you a check for 60 G's, whereas the LA Archdiocese, those victims are getting just under $500,000 each. Shame. I was asked just before the break by one of my favorite callers, Gary from Sussex, if I fear hate mail from Catholics. I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school. But that Catholic upbringing taught me the difference between right and wrong. And what's wrong is what the Milwaukee Archdiocese did. What's wrong is that Archbishop Dolan was effectively promoted to the Archdiocese in New York by helping to perpetuate that wrong. $60,000 doesn't make a victim whole. Frankly, it's kind of insulting. And by the way, I think it's even lower than that, because I didn't adjust that $21 million. I'm actually going to do math on the air, everybody, because it's important to get this right. So $21 million less about $6 million in fees leaves about $15 million. That was the size of the Milwaukee settlement. And that went to some 330 victims. Oh, yeah. That's $45,000 a piece. And it's not just that. The fact that just this month, the Milwaukee Archdiocese blocked in federal court Attorney Josh Call's effort to unseal some of the evidence relating to abuse that came up and out during their bankruptcy proceeding. Objected to it successfully. So more cover-up. The whole thing just grosses me out to no end. Mary from Mount Horeb texting in and saying, what strikes me about Gary's call is how seemingly acceptably he referred to the activity of hate mail. Like, oh, of course that's going to happen. Mary says this, as someone who is also raised Catholic, I would find it hypocritical for practicing Catholics to engage in hate mail. I'm with you, Mary. We need to be able to have these conversations and call wrong out when it's wrong. That's part of the problem of today. Matt from Middleton, you say what?
Hey, Maggie, I want to remind people that a lot of people thought Donald Trump ran for president because Barack Obama made fun of him at the Correspondents' Dinner. But I wanted to bring up Condoleezza Rice was on the Bulwark podcast, and she basically said, which is true, that MAGA and Donald Trump's campaign is a campaign of civil war. It's all about violence and intimidation and minority rule. And people like Gary, who put their pocketbook ahead of country and ahead of the well-being of others, you're just not a good person, in my opinion, and you need to look in the mirror.
I hear you, Matt, and I think people are good people, and we've got to try to speak to their better angels to call them out from the darkness. Come to the light. It's a big tent. We're here for you. I know one of those big tent bridge builders. She is my very special next guest. My next guest is Chris Alfheim. She's running for the 18th District Senate seat here in Wisconsin. Got a damn good chance of locking that one up. So excited to have you back, Chris. Thank you for your patience in getting to you. I needed to let people air out some of their feelings about this last topic. Welcome back, Chris.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, those were pretty heavy topics we just headed in with, and I'm just going to sit here and shake my head. I'm not going to chime in on that. I'm going to make the face I feel.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to shake my head. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Folks, if you want to see Chris's facial expression and mine every day, because I got a terrible poker face, don't forget you can always catch my show and the entire talker lineup on Civic Media's YouTube channel and streaming live on Facebook. Chris, this is the last stretch before the voting begins shortly, right? And then concludes on November 5th. The Fox Valley, this is where everybody is talking about. This is the hot spot in the state, no doubt.
It is.
Your opponent has said some complicated and uncomfortable things. What do you want voters up in the Fox Valley in the 18th district to know about what are your top priorities and the contrast that you want to draw between yourself and your opponent?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is I want to talk about the real problems that we're all feeling at our kitchen table. And I want to talk about the solutions. I don't want to talk about fringe issues that aren't actually affecting kitchen tables, because we do have issues. It is more expensive today. We do have to deal with the fact that childcare is out of control and unavailable in many cases. We do have an issue with the employee base and making sure that we have a great crew of people ready to continue the efforts in the business and manufacturing district of the Fox Valley. We do have an issue with women having rights taken away from them. Those are real issues. And those are issues that are hitting our kitchen table. And everything else right now, again, If it's not impacting our kitchen table, it should not be at the top. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about those things, but should they be our number one issue? No. Let's be real. Without question, the people of the Fox Valley want, and the people of Wisconsin want, to move forward. Yes. They don't care if you have a red flag or a blue flag. What they are tired of you standing on the edge and not doing anything about it. So I am all about find the purple in every conversation. Not every good idea comes from the side of the blue. Not every good idea comes from the red. And neither side is always wrong. And we have to get back to acting that way. In the Fox Valley, and I truly believe this is a magnificent district, we are now Appleton, Menasha, Nina, and Oshkosh. We have four medium-sized communities. When you put those together, our district is actually one of the, if not the number one most urban district. Mm. We have four big school districts. We have four municipalities that both have been strangled financially for over a decade. Yes. We must remedy. We have more globally recognized manufacturing industries in our district than most others. We have more small businesses and healthcare facilities than most other districts. We not only are in charge of taking care of ourselves, our 154,000 voters, but all these other districts rely on us to be the resource, the center for business, the jobs, the healthcare. We are so incredibly important, and it is wonderful and really needed that the four communities are now one body. And we can function together for the good of the Fox Valley to ensure that we are the best place to live, to work, to raise a family, to open a business, to do all of those things. And it will take a balanced mindset to ensure that happens.
Folks, that's Chris Alfheim. She's running for the 18th Senate District. She's going to be on the ballots. If you are up in that Fox Valley area in the communities of Needham and Menasha, Oshkosh and Appleton, it is when I look at sort of the economic engines of the state of Wisconsin. Of course, you've got southeastern Wisconsin, right? You've got the excitement around our flagship university in the state capital, Madison. But there is no question that in that top three has always been the Fox Valley. And I think, Chris, your points about having those four large school systems, right? Mm-hmm. The manufacturing presence, the desirability of that region of the state to live in, it is a bellwether in my mind, because it is so relatable. The struggles and what people are feeling and thinking is really universal, right? It is this cross-section of not just Wisconsin, but America in a very meaningful way. When you talk about building an environment that is supportive of manufacturing and small businesses, ensuring adequate local governmental funding, you talked about education. If you could give people just a little taste of what your ideas are from a small business, manufacturing, and educational perspective. And I also want to toot your horn a wee bit. You are a member of the Appleton Common Council. You're the vice president of the council. And every time I see someone that's served in multiple levels of government, that is a person that I trust, because you've actually seen the operation of government and you know what it's about. So if you wanted to just address those subject matter areas a bit, Chris, I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, what irritates me is when conversations take place in silos.
Yes.
Conversation we talk about is funding schools, that's not the right way to deal with it. If the only way we talk about the employment issue and needing more workforce development, that's a mistake. We have to realize that whether it be childcare, whether it be education, whether it be a library in your community, all of that is part of making a community attractive to bring in talent as well as maintain that talent as they grow through our school system. If you want to talk about the K-12 system, if you want to talk about the university system, SD18 has the University of Oshkosh. We have organizations, including the healthcare industry, that desperately needs people to work, get a career, and stay here. Why would we starve a four-year program that offers programs that we need and then complain that we don't have enough people? You can't do that. And so what I beg of people is that they understand that every issue that's out there is a much more complex issue than a talking point. We have to realize that in this day and age, I don't care who you are, if you are trying to help the community be better, if you're trying to reduce crime, if you were trying to get people off of welfare, the answer is help kids get educated. Make sure they're food, they're housed, they're healthy, and they're educated. If we do that, it is the best thing we can do for our future selves. Children are our community. They are our bosses. They are our business owners. They are our employees. We have to realize that is part of our obligation and our opportunity in Wisconsin, period. And then we have to look at our communities. Every one of us is feeling the pinch, right? That's a reality. We have to accept that. Groceries are more expensive. Our property taxes are up. Why are our property taxes up? Probably because our municipalities and our schools are 38% behind in funding where they were a decade ago. Where do the funds come from? The municipalities and the schools are then having to retain that or to push that out onto the taxpayer. We can address that. Proper funding. You want to talk about what to do with the excess budget? How about we just pay off some of the debt that's been accrued in these municipalities? Just pay it off. That would immediately help us all be better. We can come up with answers that will help us all.
Yeah, as the state sits on billions in surplus.
There's a reason it's there.
There is a reason it's there. And the knee jerk of, oh, let's just give everybody like tax rebates and tax refunds does not address these underlying problems that impact every community across the state, urban, rural, industrial, agricultural, no matter what your demography is, it's touching your community. I'm so excited. Chris is going to stick around for another segment. I'm joined this half hour by Chris Alfheim, candidate for the 18th Senate District here in the state of Wisconsin, up in the Fox Valley. If you live there, she will be on your ballot. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We dig in more with Chris after these brief messages.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To like the sunny days, especially the nice fall sunny days. I hope it is just as beautiful where you are as it is here in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm broadcasting from downtown Waukesha here on the WAUK, but we broadcast statewide, y'all. If you can't get us on your radio, don't worry. There's the Civic Media app. You can go get that for free wherever you may get your apps, and you can always listen to us online at civicmedia.us. And you want to listen because we've got great guests like the one I've got this half hour. Her name is Chris Alfheim. She is the Senate candidate for the 18th district here in the state of Wisconsin. If you live in the Fox Valley district, if you're in Neenah, Menasha, Oshkosh, or Appleton, and the surrounding areas, she is going to be on your ballots. Starting, I think early voting starts on Monday. Is that, do I have that
Tuesday.
Right? Tuesday. Start. Of course it would start on Tuesday. And then we've got, of course, early voting from Tuesday all the way through Election Day. And folks, thanks for that reminder, Chris. On Tuesday, this coming week, on my show, I am going to go through the nuts and bolts of voting. If you're voting mail-in, right? If you have moved in the last year and you need to prove your new address, I'll go through what kinds of proof work to change your address and register same day. All that good stuff, everything you've ever wondered about, I'll take your questions, we'll talk about that. And then we'll do it again in the afternoon slash early evening across the Civic Media Radio Network with some of my great co-hosts. We'll dig in again. So if you have questions, get your pencils sharpened. Tuesday, we're going to have all that info for you here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Chris, thanks for making time. It's always so refreshing to talk with you. It is very clear when you talk about issues that you see these problems, both these challenges, these opportunities for folks in the 18th district and across the state. as the complex challenges that they are, but also the interrelationships between the issues. Yeah. And that's something that I've always enjoyed about public policy, right? That these things are complicated and they are interconnected. But I often feel like politicians present them as sort of binary choices and transactional siloed issues. And the reality is that they're not.
Right.
You grew up on a small family farm.
Yep.
So I wanted you to address folks that are still in the farming business. It's been a hard go of it for family-owned farms here in the state. And yeah. I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to that.
Yeah, I am a farm girl. I love the fact that I'm a farm girl, by the way. I have been endorsed by the Farm Bureau this year, which I think is, I'm very proud of that. What I look at is there are issues. There are issues that we need to address. But what I would like to see is the industry as well as the group. So for instance, the environment. It by and large, all of us are now recognizing that it is important to address our environmental issues. Most of us, we agree clean air and water are very important. As a farm girl, I will tell you, I've never met a farmer that didn't want their animals, their land, their community to be healthier. Their entire livelihood depends on that fact. So when we talk about solutions, I don't want to see the solutions coming only from the scientists. I want to see the scientists and the farmers and the communities work together to say, what can we do? What have we already done? What have we learned? And how do we layer that in together? We need to stop the us versus them attitude right. on many, many issues. And agriculture certainly feels that. As someone who grew up on a farm, you understand that things happen on a farm. The animals are not always the best smelling thing. It happens. Mm-hmm. So there's realities where as communities start to infringe on agricultural space, then we can't just ask them to not be farms. So there's communication issues, there's understanding issues. And I think, again, it's not my job to know all the answers. It's to be empathetic for all sides of an issue and say, how can we come together and realistically make this work? Agriculture is who we are at our base. Good people is who we are at our base, and problem solvers are who we are at our base. So let's start putting those facts together and actually working forward together for the good of the planet, the air, the water, the animals, and everybody else.
It's for our collective benefit, and it will require collective decision-making and collaboration. Couldn't agree with you more. I also know that reproductive freedom and making sure that every Wisconsinite has the dignity of healthcare are central to you. Kristen, if you could address those in our last couple of minutes here.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I grew up in a household with a pro-life Catholic mom. And I had the little lapel pin, the little baby feet lapel pin.
Oh my God. Sorry. So did I.
Yeah.
That exact pin.
Mm-hmm. So I will tell you, I have great respect for those that have deep feelings on this topic. And I will tell you, in my last election in 2019, I hesitated to use the word abortion out loud because it's just I've been raised in that connotation. But I will tell you, I am a far more educated person today on the realities of how many people, how many women, how many situations there are that need decision making in a difficult situation. And that should be done between a doctor and the person, period. I don't want it to go to the federal government. I don't want it to go to the state government. I don't want it to go to referendum so the majority can vote on it. I would like it to go to the person who has to make that very difficult decision. That is the end of that conversation. That's where it should start. That's where it should end, period.
Folks, that's Chris Alfheim. You can find out more about her candidacy and positions at alfheimforwisconsin.org. Check it out. You're in the Fox Valley in District 18. She's going to be on your ballot. She's a friend of the show and now a friend of yours. Keep it locked. Maggie and the Millionaires coming up next. We're going to talk inflation here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.